Thank you, and good afternoon to everyone. Okay, this is the worst time for a speaker. Because after lunch, and almost the day is going to the even. But I'm an anesthesiologist, and so I know which is the best way to wake up. Okay? And I try to wake up you to, and there's a big attendance. Thank you for your coming. And there are a lot of Italians in this room, so I feel at home. Today, the topic is what Europe does need today. The work, the churches, the challenges, and the opportunities to work in Europe and in Italy. Because I live and I work in Italy, my presentation, after a brief introduction about the sociology and the anthropology of Europe, I'll focus my presentation about the work in Italy. And I like to leave some time after my presentation for questions or for more details. That we have a brother from England, people from Italy, and so we have a brother that care the Avanti Italia program, and so it could be a great moment to know and to learn more about Italy. When we talk about Europe, it's important to have a big picture in our mind. Europe has 27 member states. That means 500 million inhabitants. And Italy is here, and this is Europe, a big map. And so it's not easy to talk about the Europe in general. There are big difference between Romania, for example, and Germany, or from Italy and Poland. Generally, we divide in East Europe and West Europe. For this reason, I try to give a big picture of the Europe, but probably could be better to talk more today about the Western Europe. I don't have great experience about Eastern Europe. I'm talking about Romania, Bulgaria, and Ukraine, and so far. But I've been and visited and preaching for churches in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, in France, in Germany, and so on. And so, this is the latest book, a directory about the churches of Christ in Europe. And it's not very new book. The last edition is 1997. And so we need one more book, one more directory, update with addresses and so on. It's possible to find in the directory churches that don't exist anymore or doesn't find church that exists. And so, this is a big work that our lovely brother Joe Gibbs did in the past. We have his daughter here, and we need to have one more edition. When we think about Europe, many images come to mind. Charming little towns or quiet streets, cafe, museums. Beautiful countryside, image of comfort and satisfaction. But we must think about the spiritually needy. Because generally we think of Europe as tourists, but in Europe there is a great spiritual need. When they gave me this presentation, what Europe does need today, I was thinking, okay, I just say just one word, God. Okay, and that's enough. Anyway, let me compare the prosperity of the church in other parts of the world with the poverty of the European churches. The average of attendance in Europe, and now I'm talking about the Western Europe, probably is 20, 25 people in every congregation. I refer to the church in France, in Germany, in Ireland, in and so far. When looking at the last 10 years, the Church of Christ has seen enormous growth in the two-thirds of the world. On the other hand, Europe, the very heart of historical Christendom, has seen a lack of faith. In the 19th century, Europe was the primary home of Christian life and missions, not today. Probably if you have a scroll in McEntee Rotunda or here in the campus, you have seen a lot of missions and desks about the missions, and the most part of this desk are about missions in Africa, in Asia, in remote places, and just one small table about Italy, and no more about Europe, and so. I'm here. Last year I spent here 2 months talking in Harding, working with mission department and Bible department, talking and encouraging people to consider Italy and Europe as a possible mission field. And so, this is from World Christian Encyclopedia. No one in 19 expected the massive defection from Christianity that subsequently took place in Western Europe due to the secularism, and in Russia and Latin Eastern Europe due to the communism. And so, secularism and communism. Let me show this graphic, come si dice?
Graph.
Let me show this graph. You can follow by yourself the line. The flat line is Europe. The others from Asia, Africa, or Latin America. In Italy, we have organized, and I talk about this later, missions in other parts of the world, in remote places of Africa, Asia, and so far. But because it's difficult for us to think about Europe and Italy as a mission field. Anyway, this is from not about just Churches of Christ, but from evangelicals at large, from 19 to 2000. Today, Europe is a great mission field. And these are really interesting date. 26 million immigrants arrived in the last two decades in the European Union. And you consider, you consider that in the USA, just 20 million over the same time period. But USA is larger than Europe. In Rome, there are more people than in entire Arkansas. You know, where there are 4 million people, I guess in Arkansas it's 3 million, more or less. And anyway, this is a great issue for us, to talk and to work among immigrants. And the Europe Muslim population has more than doubled in the past 30 years, and is estimated to double again by 2015. And so, in the last 30 years, a new phenomenon has taken place. Increasing numbers of people from around the world have immigrated to Europe in search of a better life. And this now, Europe is a sort of a bag of culture, religions, and the process showed no signs of slowing. And if you walk, if you have a stroll in Rome or in other big cities in Europe, probably you can meet a lot of people with veil, women with veil, or black people, or in our congregation we have 4 or 5 different countries in a small church like Rome. But I talk about this later. And so Europe, different countries, different people, different languages, different culture. In some part of Europe, no one speaks English. Or at least English is not a very common language. In Italy, I guess 80% doesn't speak English at all. Just yesterday, I talked with a teacher and a professor from Harding in Memphis, just to organize some conferences and retreats in Italy. And the big issue was to provide a translator from English to Italian. But different countries, different people, but only one need: God. Last year, when I taught classes about Acts, I was a sort of substitute last year. And I remember that almost every day, teacher came, knocked on my door, and said, "Oh, Vittorio, could you teach tomorrow a class for me?" "Yeah, about what?" "And so, about a mission anthropology, about Book of Acts, about John, about..." I just one lesson I repeat in every class. The same. Just talking about Italy. But anyway. And last year I taught several classes about the Book of Acts. And every time I started my speech, I invite people to open the Bible in Acts chapter 29. And someone said, "Oh, in American Bible we have just Bible 20, Acts 28. In Italy you have Acts 29, one more chapter." Now, actually means that Acts is a book without an end. When you read the book of Acts in chapter 28, we just talk about the Bible and the Acts says about the life of Paul in Rome. And it's not a really end, because it says boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, the last word in the book of Acts. For me, now we are living in the next chapter. We are living in the Acts chapter 29. We continue to write the story of the church in Italy and here. And so we are Acts chapter 29. But in Acts chapter 14, it's a report that Paul and Barnabas did to the church in Antioch. And let me share with you just a few words, a few passages in Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 14. Luke, and the Acts says, "On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God has done through them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And so Paul and Barnabas shared what God did through them. And so I'm here just to say to you, just to forgetting with you what God is doing in Italy and in which way we are working in Italy and if possible, in which manner you can join us in our work in Italy. This is the boot, a boot. My wife comes from the boot hill, from here. I don't know in which way she contact me, because I was living here in a Bible camp, and I remember Jolie. In 19, we met together in a Bible camp. I was just a contact. I was Catholic before I became Christian. And my only reason to go to the Bible camp were the girls. I confess this. And I found one. Anyway, this is Italy, 50 million people. 50 million people. Very packed, in some it's almost impossible to walk for more 5 minutes and not to find a church and a house or a car and so on. It's so nice for me to drive in Arkansas or in Texas. It's a huge street, 6-lane street, and so. Sometimes I told my wife, please pick me up. Probably I'm dreaming. It's a dream for me. I'm just in paradise in heaven. The story. The work started in January 1949, just after the Second War. And a mission task force arrived in Frascati, near to Rome, a group of American preachers. In fact, the first work was among orphans in a large villa named Villa Speranza. And in Frascati, there is still a church after 60 and more here. This is a map of the churches in Italy. We have more or less 60 churches in Italy. And I generally point not here where we have churches, but here where we don't have any churches. This is Sardinia, 1 million, 2 million people.
Or,
yeah, one or two. We have some contact. We have a brother from Rome. He has a house here and spent 1 month, but we don't have. It is a wonderful place for a team to go and to plant churches. Or in this place, and we are talking about a million people in that place. Anyway, compared to the rest of Europe, Italy has many or more churches, more congregation than France or Germany or England. In my experience in France, there are 7-8 churches. In Germany, more or less. How many in England?
The whole UK, there's about
70.
70. Yeah,
70. All UK. And so.
Are you including Catholic assemblies in that camp?
No, this is just Churches of Christ. I'm talking just of Church of Christ. If I count Catholic Church, just in Rome there are 10,000 churches.
Mm-hmm. Churches were more important than homes.
Yeah. This is Rome. I suppose that most of you have been there or not, come to visit us. I grew up in the Colosseum area and downtown Rome. And three problems in Italy. The Roman Catholic influence, historically overwhelming. The influence of Islam and the world's mentality is common. In Italy, we generally don't talk about atheism. We are talking about agnosticism. It means, okay, I believe in God, but God is in heaven, I'm here, and we don't have any relation. Just twice in a year, I go to church. I mean, this is a the average of Italian people, Christmas and Passover, and when I get married and when I'll die, four times in my life. And so, and in my experience, it's more difficult to talk with agnostic instead to talk with an atheist, because possible with an atheist, because I remember one of my speeches in some places in Italy, and a group of atheists arrived just to fight with me about God, and they were raising hands and making questions and so. And I like to fight with my faith, but it's very difficult when to try to encourage someone to read the Bible or to confront about the God existence. And they say, okay, yeah, God exists, but now I'm busy. And so this is our problem in Italy. My wife mentioned before, in Roman Italy it's easier to find a church than a Christian. And people are religious but not Christian. In fact, we have a lot of churchgoers, but not very Christian. This is the Church of Christ in Rome. These the beautiful people. we have this building. And so.
Is that her father with her?
In Rome, there are when I became Christian, were five congregations. Two smaller congregations merged in our congregation years ago. And now there are three congregations in Rome. Our congregation is the largest, and we are 50, 60 people. And this is a summary, just to summarize our work in Italy as a physician, as a preacher, and behind me there is the book that I wrote or translated. Let me introduce you a pattern of Italian church. This is the church that I am carrying since 90. It's a small church in Anzio. Anzio is a nice city laying on the sea. And this is a typical Italian congregation with 15, 10, 12 people, smiling, very open mind, but no, they don't have a full-time preacher or elder, and we try to help. In my work, in our work, we try to help churches and congregations like this. This is CIA, Christians in Action. It is a group of Christians that I organized. And in this case, you can, I just mentioned this today before, in my previous speeches. It is a group of Christians, Italian people, that work for Italian churches. We consider us a sort of rescue team. Mm-hmm. And these people change in every mission that we are doing, or we do. In this case, my wife, my daughter, and other co-workers. But every time, generally, we do 2-3 missions every year, because it's not easy. And to do a mission means to go in a church for 2-3 days, work with them, help them in preaching, teaching, organizing, holding conferences or Bible studies, distributing flyers. Generally, this is the work that campaigners do. But the problem with campaigners is the language. And they can't talk Italian, but generally we speak Italian pretty well, and so. But For me, this is important work because you can see young people working with elderly people. That means it's possible, women with men, it's possible to work together for His glory. Sometimes we think about the church, retreat for women, retreat for men, retreat for young people, mission with campaigners from university, but it's possible to work all together for His glory. Bible Camp is an important work in Italy, and I became Christian through a Bible Camp. And so with my wife, we have worked in the Bible Camp since its start in 80. Sean Daggett, with others, started the Bible Camp in Italy.
You told you, have these camps been going all those years?
But we have a gap between the camp when I went, and they sold out this camp because the church had this camp. And after years, we start a new Bible camp, and this camp is not our place. I mean, we just rent a place. And Tito also worked with us. And so this is my wife with his class. Anyway, medical missions. This is in Cambodia, because I'm focused my mind not only to work in Italy, but just to encourage Italian people to consider themselves as missionaries, not only as mission field. And so we have a lot of opportunities to go and to preach the gospel, and I organized this work in Cambodia, and some Italian people came with me. And this the last this year in Honduras in 2012. Women retreat is another important activity. My wife is organizing with others, and the women retreat are the most numerous retreat we have in Italy. When we organize a men retreat, few people. When they organize a women retreat, packed. I don't know which is the secret. The books, and you can here we can see a book by Jim Woodruff, Between the Rock and Our Place, and we have translated from English to Italian. Another book from Tim Woodruff, The Church That Fly, and these are books that I wrote about Christian life and God and the Christ and so on. The only one is translated in English is Un Medico al Calvario, A Doctor a Calvary. Conferences around Italy, and this is Jim. And my son was translating for him. Some of our Italian preachers and elders. And I told before about African immigrants. He's a Baptist of Ghanaians in north of Italy. And I mentioned it before, when we organize a meeting, a national meeting for Italian churches, the average of attendance is 100, 120 people. They organized a retreat for Ghanaians people in Italy last year. They were 650. And so now there are some churches in Italy with only Ghanaians or black people. This is where Avanti Italia have its base, La Scuola Biblica di Firenze. This is an American preacher, and we, in this occasion, we organize a Bible study, a full immersion Bible study about the four Gospels for 3 days, and sometimes we offer this to our brotherhood. And so, my work for the church is focused on working with my congregation, working in Rome, helping small congregation. But I don't like to talk about me, but just to share with you how it's possible to work and to do in Italy. And probably it's the same thing you are doing here in USA. For this reason, we need to have more hands at work. And so what Europe or Italy needs today, I want you. We need you in Italy. Faithful workers. Young people working with young people. Experience with Avanti Italia or AIM or Let's Start Talking. And has been very great experiences for Italian churches. People committed to God in new projects. Just yesterday, I talked with this teacher in Memphis, and we want to organize some meetings to study and to go deeper in the Bible, and so with people coming from the States. And rethinking Europe as a mission field. This is important for us. This is my message. It's probably one of the reasons because I'm here. Rethinking Europe as a mission field. And I present this picture last year when we were here with my wife and daughter, and we had some meetings with young people that have interest in Italy. And so, top 10 reasons to go. Top 10 reasons to go and to be a missionary in Italy. Let me show this wonderful place. You can say amen, okay? Receptive people. Italians are very from Rome on the southern people, because in the north, in Bergamo are not so open arms people. But this is always in every part in the world. Northern people generally are it's colder than southern people. But this is normal. It's because of the cold. Few full-time preachers. We have in Italy, we have 4 or 5 full-time preachers and 60 congregations. Great opportunity to work. I show you Sardinia. Sardinia. An isle with 1.5 million of people without a church. Places where no one has preached yet. Easy languages. I learned Italian when I was a baby. No problem. It's possible to speak Italian without say a word. Okay.
Put your hands in
chair. Yeah. Someone asked me which is the most important word in Italian, and we were in Lipscomb, and I said, first, you put the way in this, the palm, on the heaven. And open a little bit your shoulder and say, "Bo." That means a lot of meanings. Okay, "Bo." Easy language. Great culture and art. Small congregation. It's possible to work among 15, 20 people. Very as a sort of family churches. And American people are welcome. This is another important thing. And probably you can put one more reason to go. Okay, let me read just a last verse, and then I want to leave to you for some questions. I love this passage from Philemon. This is my encouragement for everyone here. Philemon, verse 6. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And so I encourage you to be and to see around you and to have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And you can imagine how beautiful will be when Jesus, looking in our face, will say, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Wonderful word. I want to encourage you to see around you the possibilities and to give glory to God. Okay, I'm finished. If you have questions or if you have something, because many Italians here, just to improve a little bit my presentation. You can awake now. It's finished. Okay.
This yeah. Verse here that you just pointed out. Thank you for pointing it out. He says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have full understanding. Isn't it true that when you teach, you actually learn more yourself mm-hmm. than probably the people you're teaching?
Absolutely.
That's amazing that he puts that like that, so that you will have a full understanding of everything that good that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the Bible is amazing. Yeah. And this is among my favorite verses in the Bible.
Yeah. That's good.
Questions?
Vieni soltanto che io so sei in Estorobe, quindi se hanno qualche domanda sulle Estorobe.
You have to speak English.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, like, I've been to Eastern Europe, like, I've done a mission trip to Eastern Europe, to, like, the churches in, like, Slovakia and Czech Republic and Hungary, so if anybody has questions about it, like, I have been
Yeah,
there.
We have, I brought with me an expert about Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. Hey, you spent 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Working and traveling in Eastern Europe.
I have a question. Italy and a lot of Southern Europe, the Muslim population, are they mainly now refugees from Africa?
Yeah. Italy is the first step from Africa, from Albania, and so most of these people, when are landing in Italy, says, oh, no, we are just going to Germany or to France. This is just a passage. But most of them remain in Italy. And one more reason, because in Italy we have a lot of laws, but very few rules. That means that if you go in Germany, the rules are the same as the law. In Italy we have a lot of laws, but we are very flexible, a very flexible population. And this is a positive thing, but on the other hand, it's a negative thing, because in Italy, we have a lot of immigrants, more than other countries, because of the lack of the rules. I mean, we are very open mind for everyone, and so sometimes we offer hospitality and so on, more than we can afford.
Represents a big opportunity to reach Muslims because they're already marginalized.
Yeah, absolutely. We are a lot of Chinese people. When I saw that, go China and talk with Chinese people. No, go Italy and teach the Chinese people in Italy to become Christians. It's possible to work in Italy without speak Italian. We in Rome, there are 10 American universities. It's possible for an American to stay, to work among thousands of students in English. My son took a degree in American University in Rome, and so it's possible. Or to force Someone of you probably know Lewis Short, a researcher, a former preacher in Italy, and he lived for a while in China, and he spoke Chinese, and very close to our church building, there is a Chinese restaurant. And we never had occasion to speak with them. When we arrived in Italy, one day he was with us, and I realized that he was speaking with the Chinese owner of this restaurant in Chinese. And so, great opportunity with different languages. We have a lot of Latin American. If you speak Spanish, in our congregation, we have a lot of South American people. And they speak Spanish, even if Spanish and Italian are pretty similar, but it's two different languages.
Do they pretty well group in conclaves themselves? Or?
Yeah, no, they, no, no. They now are in our family, no problem between the two groups, South American and Italian. Jolly?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a comment to what he was saying. He was asking about the Muslim people. Yes, it is a great opportunity, but it's also a great, grave danger because if we don't reach those people, they will gradually become the majority of the of what is a truly religious kind of person. And they can, in Italy, it's so easy in the political system to create your own party. And I could very well see that they're going to allow some Muslim party to start up and have political power unless we can counteract that and reach those people before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity, but it's also a danger if we don't counteract.
Mm-hmm. Please.
If you say this Muslim population in Italy feels disenfranchised in any way, then, or like, would you say that politically they're not enjoying the same empowerment that other?
No, they're right at this stage. They're just pilgrims. They're passing through, or they maybe claim that they're going somewhere else. But as their children learn the language and go to Italian schools and become educated in a couple of generations, they will be empowered to speak their mind and to have their way. And I feel that.
Do you, thanks, Jolly. And do you remember the passage in the book of Acts when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was in Athens and he met the people in the Areopagus? And in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 22, Paul says, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. And they have a lot of idols." This is a picture, in my opinion, pretty similar to Italian. We have a lot of religious. One of the latest baptism we had in Rome, there is this man, Catholic man, Italian man, then became a Buddhist. And then, after study, he became Christian. So, it's possible also to work with people that, because we have an open mind and we are very religious, we accept every religion, New Age, for example, and so on. 5 minutes. Yeah?
Plug avante. Young people?
Go on.
Okay. I'm about to go to India. I go to India every year. And in 1 week, I will touch probably 50,000 people I'll have 500-600 people who come to preachers who come to my seminars. They all have two or three congregations in 1 week. If I stayed there a month, I could touch 1 million people. He showed the graph. It's that way in India, it's that way in Africa. But in Europe, it's a flat line. There's you can go and spend 10 years and maybe convert two people. But I believe with all of my heart that there is a revival coming in Europe. As the European Union crumbles, as the economy crumbles, as secularism fails, humanism fails, there will be a heart for God. And I believe that we need people in Europe who are there for the long haul, who are there planting, so that when that revival comes, it will be like India. People will be desperate for the Word of God. So we have a program called Avante Italia, where you can go and spend 2 years after you graduate laying on a foundation that some men from America and some men like Vittoria have laid, just planting more seeds, watering seeds that have already been planted, so that the church continues to be a solid place, so that when that revival comes, we're there and we are ready to move into the hearts of people with the gospel. So if you're interested in Avante Italia, if you're interested in spending 2 years, not just in Florence, the center is in Florence, but the Avante workers go all over Italy. Come by, I've got a table downstairs. You can come by and see me now, or you can, I'm at the college church, you can come see me, or you can see Brother Jim. He's a superstar.
Our hero.
And if you want to go to Avante Italia, you should take Italian before you go.
Yeah.
Figure out if you like speaking Italian, if you like the culture. Because in my Italian classes here at Harding, I teach language and culture, and by the first semester, you would be able to speak as a tourist, not a diplomat, not yet. But after one semester, you can speak like a tourist.
That's wonderful. I've been telling them that. You know, they think, well, I'm just a sophomore. And I say, well, you've got a leg up on the rest of these who are seniors. You've got 2 years to take your class and land in Italy speaking Italian.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Scott, and thank you for your... Oh, it's good.
I was going to say, or ask, how many people, or what's the split of age in the churches over there, such as over 60s?
The average is my age, 50, 60. I turned my 50, and we are lack of in the middle generation.